The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had died, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. In this state of South Carolina, there are 2 sports. There's football and there's baseball. In the fall, it's all about football. All the kids are playing in their backyards or on teams. And then about the time winter rolls around, well, it becomes baseball. And let me tell you, in this place, baseball is a religion. Because it starts from about the time kids can barely hold a bat. They're out there playing t-ball, and then it's coach's pitch. Then it's Little League, and there's American Legion, and then there's a middle school team, the high school teams of varsity and junior varsity, all with hopes to go on. I mean, there's kids that travel all around the state, all around the country, playing baseball weekend after weekend after weekend. Well, my family was more of a soccer family, and that's what we did during the spring. But there was this one year in 6th or 7th grade that I had this idea that I was going to try out for baseball. Now, I hadn't played much ball. I mean, you didn't really play that in your yard because, you know, the whole breaking windows thing. But all my friends were doing it, so I figured, hey, I would love to be on a team with them. So I decided to try out. Now, I started practicing. I would go in my backyard, and I would throw the ball up in the air, and I would catch it and throw it up and catch it. Every once in a while, my big brother would come back and throw with me, but, you know, he was a soccer player, so I don't know how great that was. But then finally, tryouts began. And I showed up that day and looked around, and all the other boys were wearing baseball clothes. They had on baseball shirts and, you know, those stirrup pants with the little elastic on the bottom and the socks. And, you know, they had these nice leather gloves and they were all ready to go. And here I was wearing shorts, a t-shirt, and soccer cleats, which apparently are not the same as baseball cleats. And then we started practicing. The coach lined up one against the other and you would throw back and forth. Well, folks, I learned something that day. Learned a few things. The first thing I learned is playing in the backyard by yourself is not like playing with another person. And I also learned that I cannot catch and I cannot throw. I left the field that day utterly devastated because that's when I realized that there was no way in the world I could make that team. I simply hadn't played long enough. I wasn't good enough. And that ended my baseball career. You know, I'd love to be able to tell you that's the only time I felt that I wasn't enough. You know, but there have been many other times, basically any time I played any sport, because people were always better than me, faster than me, stronger than me, more coordinated than I was. There are times in school when I didn't feel like I could measure up to other people, or times in ministry when I didn't feel like I was as good or as qualified as someone else. And I would hope that I would be the only one who's ever felt like they didn't measure up, but I know that simply isn't the case. I mean, maybe you too have dealt with feelings of scarcity and inadequacy because you don't have enough. You can't do enough, or you won't achieve enough. You know, maybe you felt like you're not smart enough to go farther in school, or you're not talented enough to go farther in your job. You're not cool enough to hang out with that group of people, or pretty enough to date this person. We all have feelings of scarcity and inadequacy. I mean, maybe most of the time you're a very optimistic person, but I bet you at least sometime in all of our lives we experience the glass empty kind of feelings, you know? When we just realize that we don't have enough, can't do enough, and won't achieve enough. Well, that's what's going on in today's gospel reading. Now, this is a very well-known miracle story where Jesus produces enough for everybody, right? Well, it starts out like this. Jesus had just heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded, and so he goes off by himself, as many people would want to do. Not only that, I'm sure he was worn out from all of the crowds and from being with people constantly. And then when he's coming to shore, he sees this great crowd of people. And I'm thinking that probably would have felt a lot like getting a phone call when you're on vacation. You know, you're back resting and enjoying life, and all of a sudden, work calls. That's what he felt like. But rather than being annoyed, Jesus had compassion on the people, and it says that he cured their sick. But then as this went on into the evening, his disciples, I guess they were getting a little hungry. He figured the other people were too. So they came up with a plan. Jesus, send these people into town so that they can get themselves something to eat. You see, the disciples were coming from a place of scarcity and inadequacy. They saw what they didn't have rather than what they did. But then Jesus puts it back on them. He goes, no, they don't need to go anywhere. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Now, there's something interesting about this miracle story, because I believe that the focus of it isn't on what Jesus did. It's on what he enabled the disciples to do. Because Jesus didn't say, here, what you got? I'll feed them. He said, you give them something to eat. And then Jesus takes what they have in their scarcity, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, which, let's be honest, that's next to nothing for 5,000 men. And then when you throw in the women and children on top of it, you're probably talking about 10 to 15,000 people. What are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish going to go? That's just not enough. That can't do anything, and it's not going to achieve any kind of sustenance, will it? But Jesus takes it, blesses it, and then gives it to the disciples to give to the crowds. And when they did, everyone ate and was satisfied. And just to show off, there were 12 baskets left over. See, Jesus took the scarcity, the inadequacy of the disciples, and through that, they were able to feed the multitudes. They were able to take the little that they had, and God made it enough. And that's the same thing that God does with each of us. You see, we sometimes, though, we get so focused on what we don't have and can't do and won't achieve, that we're blinded to what God can do. We're blinded that God can take the little that we have and do incredible things. I mean, here's the reality. I quit tryouts that day. That was the last day that I went out. First and last. Week later, I found out that everybody made the team. Turns out I would have made the team if I'd have stuck around. Now, would I have been the next Babe Ruth? Very, very doubtful. But would I have learned to catch and throw? Probably. But when we get focused on what we don't have, when we get focused on our scarcity and our inadequacies, we miss what God can do with who we are. Because you see, God made you who you are, put you where you are, created you to do what you do for a reason. You are who you are for a purpose. And when we get focused on our inadequacies and what we can't do, we miss out on what that purpose may be. The mission here is we share our gifts to show God's love. Each and every person in this world has been gifted by God to do something, to be there for someone in ministry. That's why we're here. That's what we do. And we show God's love through the things that we can do. Now, you may be thinking, but I'm not very good at this. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not holy enough. And the truth is, you may not be. But God makes you more than enough. God takes the little that we have and creates an abundance. And so as we share our gifts to show God's love, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to step up and step out on faith. We've got to trust that God will make us enough, because God does make us enough. We got to trust that we'll have enough, because God will give us whatever we need when we answer His call. We have to trust that God will provide, because God does provide. My friends, as we look around at this world, at a world that's divided, at a world that's at war, at a world where people are hungry and starving, and people are homeless and don't have clothes to wear and can't agree, and there's this pandemic going on, we look at ourselves and we say, there's nothing that we can do. Not little old insignificant me. How can I possibly do anything that will make a difference? I'm not smart enough. I'm not well known enough. I'm not important enough. But you are. Because God takes what we don't have, what we can't do, what we won't achieve, and makes us more than enough. And that's what'll change everything, my friends. As we step up and step out on faith, as we share our gifts to show God's love, God will take what we don't have and He'll change the world with it. Amen.